This is Stryker Spurlock, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 48. My name is Chris Buter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Shane, we're two episodes away from 50, which means we're going to have a very special 50th episode of probably not doing anything special.
Right.
Literally just hanging out and counting as number 50. But yeah. I'm pretty excited because we've been doing this since June. And
yeah, this is definitely the lot farther than I ever thought we'd make it. I mean,
I was hoping for three.
Yeah.
And then if we got to that, I was good. So yeah. That's where most of my podcast ideas come from. So it was sweet. This week, we are joined by comedian Stryker Spurlock.
I
appreciate you hanging out, man.
Yeah.
Now, did you dust off the snowmobile before coming in just in case?
No.
This so-called snow apocalypse that...
Yeah, I don't believe that. I hope not.
I think it's funny that we're like, we could get 5 to 8 inches, and like Boston's got like 20 feet of snow, and
yeah,
they're
right.
Just like, oh, it's pretty cool. We get to go sled and stuff. We're just freaking out.
No, life is really horrible.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. And what's funny is at work, we have the Weather Channel on like all the time, Weather Channel and CNN, and like seeing the Weather Channel do like their 24-hour news coverage of the snow in Boston, it's like, how much can you talk about the snow?
Right. Can we go back to the 50th episode thing for a second? Because I have an idea. You guys could do a countdown of the top 50 guests. And just go through all of them.
Just that'd be horrible. So, number 50, he wasn't a very good guest. We really don't want him to come back on, and we feel the podcast is poor now after having him on. So,
rank them all.
Yeah. And the number one podcast is the first episode when we were just us talking. And,
yep. Yeah. The best. The golden age.
We kind of like when we don't have people on.
We started off with a bang and we've been going downhill since.
Just announce it at the end after that. Just be like, yeah, we're pretty egotistical. Not a bad idea. We'll see. Just tag the list and just be like, this is why this person was 50.
Yeah.
See. But, well, thanks for hanging out with us.
And, yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Coming on and... So I was just kind of looking up. So you do the calendar, events calendar for Comedy in the Loop. Do you still do it?
I used to.
You used to?
And then Kelsey couldn't pay me anymore, so
how,
I don't do
how,
it.
How, like, because, like, I know Shane keeps up with, like, trying to post stuff all the time for kind of what's going on in St. Louis. Is that, like, just incredibly difficult to keep that up on, like, a daily basis? Or I don't know how often, I guess, you did it on a monthly basis.
I would just get invites on Facebook to events, and I would hit yes, I'm attending. And then, like, I'd save them up till the weekend, and then I'd just go through and look at all of them and, like, plug them in, and then no, I'm not attending. And, like, so that would be it's checked off, you know?
Yeah. That's a good idea.
It was just a binge thing. Yeah. I wouldn't do it every day.
No, I gotcha. Because I know, like...
It'd take, like, 2 hours.
If it was up to me, like, Shane does so much stuff, if it was me doing it, nothing would ever get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's pretty much what I do also. Like,
right.
This RSVP, do a lot of stuff and keep track of it all. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, things I would go to, but it's hard to make it to 3 or 4 things in one night. So
I just hate having to plug it in. Like, I would hate to, like, I try to just, like, whenever you'd send me stuff, I'm like, hey, put this on. I'm just like, oh my God, and you have to link everything, and it's just the pain. But
yeah.
I'm lazy as all hell.
Well, I put a calendar on our page, and I put a bunch of stuff on there one day, and then I was like, man, this is... a lot of time trying to, you know, put it all in an actual calendar instead of just sharing it on Facebook.
And yeah.
Stuff. That's a lot easier than all that, than actually manually entering it all in, like, in the Comedy in the Loop page and stuff. It takes a lot of time. And
uploading thumbnail photos.
Yeah, right, yeah.
there's a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Just that whole process.
I just have this useless folder on my desktop of just comedians' headshots. I don't know what to do with.
You just change your, like, set the folders like your background, so every day it's a random figure. And then who's going to be my background today on my computer?
Oh, it's the Fry Man.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, hey, that could be like a... Maybe you could, like, get a new idea off of that. Like, you were talking about how, like, your ideas, you kind of stem... I think I'm the same way with, like, an idea, I get the name or, like...
Yeah.
And then try and, like, actually think through it. I'm like, oh, this will never work. But you're talking about the New Line Cinema of, like, doing something in the movie theater. That's a much better idea than I would ever come up with just to start with. So,
yeah, it's difficult. I could probably do it at, like, I don't know, the stage at KDHX, I think, has a projector. Anywhere where they show videos.
Yeah, just rent, like, an old Blockbuster out that's, like...
we could do that.
There's one in Wentzville just sitting there needing attention.
Oh, that'd be...
Blockbuster resurgent occurred after Stryker Spurlock started his...
I used to love going to the Blockbuster in my hometown. Well, one of my hometowns in Utah. And it closed recently. And I was like, I have no reason to ever go back there.
It was, right. Yeah, that was a lot. It was such like an event to be able to go to a Blockbuster. Yeah. Just when I was a kid, because it was like...
It was great.
My mom would be like, oh, it's a rainy day. We can go rent a game, like a Sega game or a movie. And it was like a huge thing. And now I remember going in there, you know, not long before it closed. And you're just like... You can just tell. It's probably like how somebody goes went into like Radio Shack. They're like, you can just tell this is not going well. Yeah,
there's a guy who worked there named Glenn, who I got along really well with. I'm still like Facebook friends with him. We talk sometimes. He's married now. But no, that was going to Blockbuster was really instrumental in developing my love of movies because I was like 12 and I got really into like artsy foreign shit.
Oh yeah.
And the Blockbuster had them for some reason. Just this tiny town in Utah that had like Russian movies, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. This is my personality now. Like,
this is it. I got it. Now, how long did you live in Utah?
2.5 years.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So were you born in St. Louis or were you born in...
I was born in Collinsville.
Collins, okay, gotcha.
Long time ago.
Long time
ago. And then I left pretty soon and went in a bunch of other places. And now we're back in the area.
Back in the loop. Living it up.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Yeah, that's what I lived. Born here and then went to like Colorado, North Carolina, and then back here. And like, I enjoy St. Louis a lot.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Where were you in Colorado?
Highlands Ranch.
Okay.
Kind of close to Littleton, I guess. I don't know. I just know Highlands Ranch. Yeah. It was like one of those things where you could look like out into the distance and it's just a row of like houses that are like 5 feet apart and just forever. And it's just like...
I only know the dinosaur monument. You ever been there? It's like the very western edge.
I don't think I've been there.
Oh, it's like right on the border of Utah. I lived like 30 minutes from it.
Oh, wait.
Just go there and hike.
I don't think I have, but I'll have to go. Be sweet. I haven't gotten far out of like the Midwest, though. Outside of like North Carolina, but like I would love to just go to like the West Coast or something. But
oh, yeah. It's nice. It's too slow out there, too.
Yeah. Where haven't you lived? God damn.
I've lived in a lot of places.
That's awesome. Was it just moving around or what was the...
Just moving around, yeah. Just parents' jobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's where we moved. My dad got transferred and whatnot. And kind of nice to see different places, but something you don't really appreciate when you're younger.
Yeah.
And now older.
Well,
you're like,
I never really talked about this, but the reason we moved to California was a failed attempt at independent filmmaking.
Really?
Yeah. My uncle... my mom's brother, he's always been really ambitious, and he's just kind of a jack of all trades, or at least he considers himself to be. And like, he's always loved movies, and in the 90s he made like an independent film in Collinsville that wasn't that great, and it never got released. Like, he submitted it to Sundance, but I think like the deadline had passed or something. But he wanted to try again, and he wrote like this script based on like an old western novel that had like passed into public domain, so he's like, yeah, I don't have to pay the rest.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then he like got his investor friend in California to like put up some money for it. He was like establishing a line of credit, and so we're like, all right, we're gonna move to California and help our uncle make this movie.
Yeah.
And so we moved to California, and the line of credit never came through because the guy got ripped off by the guy he was talking to. So we just it was kind of like the Gold Rush, but there was nothing there.
Yeah, the modern day 90s version Gold Rush. So the movie never got made?
No, this was more recent than the 90s.
Oh.
This was, when did we move? 2010.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Yeah, this was his second movie he tried to make.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's...
I'm in the first one, technically. My mom is pregnant and she walks through the background.
Do you get credit? Like in the credits, it's like in womb.
I don't think she even got a credit.
I had a buddy in Colorado who was like in, he used to do like real minor acting, I guess, but he said, I guess he was in that What to Do in Denver When You're Dead, that movie, but like,
okay,
a very like, I've never seen him or whatever, but I just remember him talking about it when we were little. But
yeah,
I remember in elementary school he brought a movie in that he was in, and there's this one part where like all of a sudden a song kicks in and he just goes, "We need a hero," and that's his only like line or whatever, but
wow.
Stuck with me, and maybe he's still doing it, but
yeah,
I don't know.
That's like one of my bucket list, you know, goals is to just kind of be an extra in the, you know, just walking past in the back of a movie or something.
Regardless if they hire you or not. Yeah.
I really want to die in a movie. I think that'd be cool to get, like, aggressively killed.
You need to talk to Sean Bean about that. He gets killed all the time. Mm-hmm. He'll be like, here's how you got to do it.
Like, if I could just be strangled in a bathroom on camera, that'd be great.
Just to, like, kind of have the immortality, be like, yeah, I died in this movie.
Yeah, I just watch it all the time, jacking off.
Yeah, yeah. That's I'm very high on myself, but I think the performance was really good.
The
was really neat.
My debut. Look at my hair.
Yeah, man, they made that makeup look really good. I'm really happy here. It's good.
I'm wearing a tuxedo in the scene for no reason.
Right. Yeah.
I insisted upon it.
The director's like, I mean, you just got to die, so do whatever you want. Wear your own wardrobe. You just go above and beyond. They're. I was watching it last night at work. Like the making of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how like the production, like they shot like a soundstage for a little bit part of it, but then they had to go to New Zealand and shoot all on. And they're talking about how they have to like arrange to have all the props basically shipped to New Zealand. And they're like talking about how they're like 8 to 1,000 extras in just like this one thing. And I'm just like thinking like the analytics of like getting that whole their logistics of getting that set up. I'm just like, that is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. But Peter Jackson and who's the guy who plays Gollum?
Andy Serkis.
Yes, he was. I guess he directed it too. Had it all together, but
yeah, he's like a second unit director or something.
Yeah, this is crazy, man.
It is insane.
Now, are you interested in like filmmaking and stuff?
I've always been into that. That was like what I originally wanted to do as a kid. I made like Super 8, 8mm tape movies when I was a boy. Mostly just Lord of the Rings ripoffs. I was really into Lord of the Rings.
Not that long. We were talking about who was it? We were talking about the pornos, like those Lord of the Spider Babe, and then like there's the Lord of the G Strings, the porn or both.
It was Max and Ben we had on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I saw Clockwork Orgy. That's from like 95.
There's so many like. It'd be hard to find a mainstream movie that probably doesn't have a porno related to it.
The best one, this one from the '70s. It's called Alice in Wonderland, an X-rated musical, and it's amazing. They're songs, like really corny folk songs, and the Mad Hatter looks like Jerry Seinfeld, and his little thing on his hat says 9.5 inches. It's amazing. It's the best thing.
Now I'm gonna come back and say I got fired from work because I was researching that.
It's great.
Yeah. So why are you looking at porn? This isn't porn. This is art.
Okay? Yeah. And it's from the '70s. It's from the '70s. A new level.
Yeah. It's not. It wasn't porn then. It was
erotic pictures.
Yeah. Erotic pictures. If I can make it past the blockers on the computer, then that's right. Then it's not porn. It's good. So is it something that you're still kind of pursuing, filmmaking, or is it more so comedy?
I'm more into comedy now. Here's the thing with the filmmaking is I don't have the discipline to do it.
But I
like to make sometimes I make promos for the show that I run.
Oh yeah,
we film. I'd like to do more, but right now it's hard because I don't have a good camera. As soon as I can get that, I think I'm gonna do more. Maybe.
Yeah. I think what's hard too is I went to school at Northwest and like I was going for broadcasting and just finding people who are like as motivated or like into it as you are to like help you out.
Yeah.
So like that's another thing that kind of would like if I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a movie and I'm like, well, I have to get all these people to try and find all these people that can do it and I'm just like, plus I don't think I'm a major awesome filmmaker or anything by any means.
But I feel bad wanting to do it because it's like when somebody comes into comedy and it's just like you know they're just gonna be a hobbyist, they're not like living it.
Yeah.
I'd be like that with filmmaking because there are people who just like work for 10 years nonstop at getting a movie made.
Yeah.
And then there's me it's just like, oh, I'd make a movie maybe.
Yeah, hold on, I got my iPhone and and you do it the vertical instead of horizontal, so you got the bars on each side and it's like, oh my god.
I used to drive around 16 years old, my buddy Nick, and we just had the old home video camera, and I would drive around and make stupid videos with that, and just record our weekend adventures, and
nice.
I whipped out the tapes the other day, I got the converter thing where I could convert the tape
to VHS,
I put all the videos up on my YouTube of this, like, I recorded one video, like, at prom, the after party, like, and everybody's, like, drunk and stuff, and it was pretty entertaining.
Nice.
To see all this, and
You have it on YouTube?
Yeah, I think I left it private because I didn't know if anybody really wanted me to share a bunch of videos of underage kids drinking.
Should be fine.
So, yeah, I mean, I think the statute of limitations is probably up by now.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. You're fine. Just make sure you tag everybody, though.
Yeah, right. Because
I think people will be more like, oh, my God, yeah, I remember that. Then, like, oh, that's me. And embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think, like...
that's my only filmmaking I've done.
Yeah. I think kind of like what you said, you like making the promos. Like, I think that's a lot more fun when you have footage or, like, stuff that you can just kind of cut into, like, a preview.
Yeah.
Or, like, a trailer. Uh-huh. And that's a lot of fun for, like, just doing stuff like that compared to having to do a whole, like, I love editing and stuff. It's a blast. But having to put it all together is a pain. But if you have, like, footage, like you said, to do a trailer or promo.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's not like a trailer. It's more of, like, a 3-minute short film promoting it. Okay. Usually what happens is, here's the format for them, mostly. Is me and Justin Luke, another comic, are living in a house. An intruder comes in and tells us about the show, and then something supernatural happens. That's the format of all the shows.
So it's like a short film to promote.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Me and my buddy Tiffin made a superhero movie in our dorm, and our dorms were tiny, and I think at one point I threw him into, like, our little closet-like thing that was maybe, like, the size of that cabinet, but, like, two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, our neighbors had to just be like, what the hell is going on? Because I threw him, and he, like, dove in. Like, he went all in, and he just heard, boom! And we're just like, it was, I wish I still had it, because it was such, like, just a goofy, idea of it.
The last one we made for January, it was just me and Andrew Mihalovich, who's a comic. We were in his room, and he has a window that you lift up, and it goes out to the roof. And, like, people go out there for parties and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he also has a Spider-Man costume. And I was like, so here's the video. I'm going to be sitting on the couch, the bed, reading a Spider-Man comic. And then we're going to pan over to the window. And then we're going to go in for a close-up of the window. And Spider-Man's going to come through and tell me about the show. And he's like, okay. So we get the first shot, pan over. And we go in for the close-up. Andrew's outside. And I yell really loud, action! And he just opens the window, and it just falls in and shatters. Everywhere. It shatters all over his dresser and his floor. And I almost stopped, and then I was like, no, why would I stop it? I was just like, keep going.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And he's just like, Spider-Man usually makes a bitter entrance. I'll pay for this, but you should come to this show. And then, like, he just did the thing. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go now. And then at the end, he just pulls up the window, and it's just, like, glass tinkling out of it.
The shards just
all over. And then we spent the next 2 hours cleaning up his room.
All right, well, but, like, so you do multiple, like, different ones for shows. That's kind of like a cool little, not, like, niche thing, but that's kind of a cool way to promote, where you kind of have, like, these, people almost look forward to that as much as the show, because it's...
Right, I need to make the one for February. I just haven't found time, because I've been in Chicago.
Very informative intruders.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why does this keep happening to these people? Why do these people keep breaking into their house?
Yeah, this is just odd, I don't know. So you say you're in Chicago for...
Yeah, about a week. I went up there to do some mics with Justin Luke. We stayed on my friend Nick Martin's couch. We didn't see him for like the last 3 days we were there. He slept a lot, and he would like go to work and then go to like different shows. And so like we left Wednesday, but I saw him last Sunday.
He was just like, "Are you alive, man?
Yeah,
cool. Thanks for having us over."
Yeah, no, it's cool. I like him a lot. He's a really funny comic. He's one of my favorites in Chicago.
Was there a difference in say the performing in Chicago that you've noticed compared to St. Louis, or is it pretty similar to?
No, mics are bad all everywhere. There's more comics, so there are more good people and also more mediocre people.
Yeah.
There was a really fun show called The Late Late Breakfast. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's at this bar called The Hideout, which is in the middle of like this industrial area. It's like all these like factories and shit, and then just this bar that used to be a speakeasy. And Late Late Breakfast happens at, like, 3 in the afternoon, and they give out free pancakes. And it's not really stand-up, it's just, like, games the stand-ups have to do, and it's insane. But the bar would not let me in because of the liquor laws, which they start out as a speakeasy, so you think they'd be cool, but whatever. Gotta keep to that tradition of obeying liquor laws. But I was able to, they set up a PA by the window, which had bars on it, and I was able to just, like, lean in and hold the microphone and just tell my jokes through the window, and it went really well. And then I left, because there was no, I was going to sit outside.
Oh, you're, yeah.
It's cold.
You're able to give, like, payday advance loans as well, too, just, you know. Hey, also, if you can perform this work, too, that'd be great. But, yeah. Tell some jokes while you're at it. Yeah. Is that, like, the weirdest show you've had at... Do our most like weird situation type?
No,
of
thing?
I feel like a can of worms opens there. Are you kidding me?
Oh man, no! Last July, I did a show in St. Joseph at a guy's house.
For the one guy?
No,
it was just a one-on-one show.
Yeah, it was. I'll give you the story. I want to write an article about it, but I'm too goddamn lazy. I've written drafts of it, but I haven't finished it. It'll get out eventually, maybe. So this comic, I can say his name because he's my friend. I'm not going to say the other guy's name. Right. My friend Max, back in July, he wrote me and he was like, hey, there's this guy in St. Joseph who says he's a veteran headliner, been doing it for 20 years. His name is, what's a good name? I'm just going to say his first name. His name's Tony. He wants two comics to come out and do a show in his house with him. For all his friends. It's going to be a real fun time. You should come out. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Because I knew it was going to be weird. And I'm like, yeah. Of course I'm going to take this. So we take Max's car, and we drive like 5 hours to St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, yeah, it was like 45 minutes from Northwest, so I've been there
sometimes. It's middle of July, sweltering hot. The AC doesn't work that well. We got stuck in traffic for like 2 hours because a truck flipped over, and it was carrying like boxes of potatoes, and there's just all these potatoes on the interstate. It's amazing. And we get to the guy's house, and it's just a shitty little like duplex, and there's a woman on the porch smoking, and we go up. And she's like, yeah, I'm his neighbor. Tony's out at Walmart getting supplies right now. He says it's unlocked. Just go on in, make yourselves comfortable, get a drink. And we're like, all right. So we go in. It looks like it hasn't changed in, like, the 70s. Like, the furniture and, like, the wood-paneled walls.
Yeah.
And the living room is, like, a bunch of chairs and then, like, a crate stage and then, like, a PA system. And we're surprised he had a PA system. I'll say,
so he was also ready to go. I mean,
yeah,
he
was set up. But there was no air conditioning. It was really hot, and we were sweating. And so we go to the kitchen to get drinks or whatever, and we open the guy's cabinets, and there's nothing in them except a bong. And that was it. And we're like, yeah, this makes sense. So we wait for the guy to get back. He's brought over several sodas and some snacks, and a wall air conditioner that he is fixing into the wall as he's talking to us, and he's not doing it well. Like, it takes a while. It turns out he works for a moving company, and all the people who come to the show are his co-workers at this moving company. But I'll get to that in a second, because I want to point this out. He might not have lived in that house.
he's been watching, like, stalking that location.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So, like, here's what he said. He said, yeah, I don't stay here a lot because I gotta drive the truck, so I only just, like, come here to sleep. And we're like, all right. And then I went outside to, like, put my notebook in the car. And as I'm coming back, I noticed on his mailbox on the door, there's, like, a vacant sign. Like, this house is empty. And... so I'm like, that's weird. This might be a squatter. And so, like, I go in, and the guy is in there. Tony's in there. And I have to text Max so he doesn't hear, hey, I think he's a squatter. Go look on the mailbox. And he, like, he sees it, and he's like, yeah, I'll be right back. And he goes out, and he comes back with just this look on his face like, yeah, he might. And then he brings it up. He's like, hey, Tony, I saw you got a vacant sign on your mailbox. Might want to, you know, take that off. So the postman doesn't get confused. And what Tony said is even worse than what I thought was happening. He said, yeah, man, I haven't legally changed my address yet because I don't want my ex-wife to find me. What? Does it work that way?
Can you just... that? No?
I don't think it does. But we didn't want to ask any more questions.
Right.
So the show comes around and like 10 people show up. He kept promising there would be chicks.
There always is.
Yeah. Here were the chicks. His neighbor lady, this woman in leopard print, purple leopard print, who he said, yeah, I used to date this girl. She's coming tonight. She's bringing her new boyfriend. So there was her. And then there was this lady with her boyfriend. And Max used to be really into drugs, all right? So he, like, knows how to identify things. Yeah. And he points this this couple out to me, and he says, she's on heroin, he's on meth. And I was like, okay, I can see that. And like, so the show happens. I go first. I bomb aggressively for 13 minutes. I was doing this thing at the time where I would yell puns about the A-Team, where it was like really complicated setup and then the same pun over and over again. And I took my shirt off during it. And I literally heard a woman in the back go, why is he taking his shirt off? Like, they just didn't understand. And then Max goes next, and he bombs, and he, like, makes fun of meth, like, in just a general way. And the guy who he said was on meth, like, tried to fight him. And Tony was just like, Kyle, sit down, and called him off.
Kyle, get out of here.
And Tony goes up. He did still bad, but slightly better. He told mostly street jokes, I think, and talked about his time in prison. And how much he hated his ex-wife, and he said cunt a lot. And that was the biggest laugh, was him saying
that was his shtick.
Yeah. And then that was the end of the show. He gave us a $100 bill, and then we left forever.
Was there ever any point, or maybe the whole time, when you're like, we're not going to make it out of this. We're going to be murdered by this guy or these people.
Yeah. It was kind of scary. There was a... Oh! I forgot about this. Hold on. There was a guy there from the moving company who, he looked like a fairy tale dwarf. Real short and stocky with, like, a big beard and, like, long hair that was, like, in braids. And he was wearing a dirty old t-shirt, like a kid's t-shirt, with Grumpy from the Seven Dwarves on it. And it says, does this shirt make me look grumpy? Why does this man exist?
He's been, like, waiting to show that shirt off. He's been growing the beard and the braid and the hair for that precise moment.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's crazy. That speaking of meth, obviously, I have a ton of meth stories.
Segway.
I was listening the other night. We had, cops chase down this truck down my road in the neighborhood, and it's, like, a cul-de-sac, which I guess the guy who was a stolen vehicle didn't realize it was a cul-de-sac, so ended up crashing through some deck and cops caught him. But anyway, so I'm trying to figure out what's happening because I was sitting, it's like 3 in the morning and I'm playing Xbox and I just hear these cop cars race down the street. I'm like, what the hell? So I get on like a dispatch stream to try and listen what's going on and trying to find out, and I'm listening and I hear the dispatcher go, in Winghaven, they're like, we're going to need another officer for assistance. One of the police officers hit a deer and he is carrying a prisoner, and the prisoner is getting belligerent and trying to kick out the window, and they believe he may be coming high off like a high meth whatever. It's like, so we're gonna need some assistance because he is kicking out the window and I think he's coming off of meth. And I'm just like, this is way better than what's going on in my neighborhood. Like, I'm gonna go to Winghaven and find out what's going on there.
Oh,
just funny.
The best part of the night was on the way back. This was the topping on the cake or whatever. We went to this gas station, and, like, we were just trying to process the whole evening. And we come out of the gas station, and we get back in the car. And as we're, like, getting in the car, there's a honk over, like, to our left. And we just turn and look, and it's just a big, burly man in a pickup truck. And he just flips us off and then drives away. And it's like, was that God? Is that who that was? What was that?
Get out of here, you hippies!
It just summed up the whole night.
Why would he say that to us? I don't even know. That's all crazy. That's a heck of a trip too, for like, because you could have totally been just murdered and be like, well, we never saw him again. It was 5 hours away. It's not like it was right down the street. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The guy's probably like, man, I killed that night. It was like the best show ever.
Yeah, no, he is so delusional. His Facebook feed is amazing.
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
Yes, he added me. Oh, man.
He hasn't invited you back for any other shows?
No, he liked us.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, sort of. He's just a weirdo.
Just an interesting character.
Did you watch Impersonators?
No. Oh, the Josh Arnold thing. Yeah, I saw that.
When you... there's when you were talking about your guy's house and everything, and like going to his house and performing, I started thinking of like the scene in the movie when Frankie is with that old man. He's like in that. In the movie, they're impersonators. They get hired to go to children's parties and stuff as like different superheroes, but they're not quite. You know, they're just like, you know, fake knockoff versions of them. And he's like Arrow or something.
Yeah.
And he, but he keeps getting hired to go to this guy's house, and it's just him and this old man in the backyard, and they showed a clip of it, and it's like, it's so funny watching Frankie like roll around with this old man in the backyard. It's really creepy. But anyway, that's what I thought when he just you and this old man in this house, and it, like
he took a shower while we were there.
Hey, you guys keep doing your thing. We go hop in the shower.
Yeah, because we had some time to kill before the show, and he was like, "Yeah, I got to hop in here real quick.
Yeah, I gotta get ready."
And he came out. Like shirtless, and he just like stood from a mirror and like put a bandana on and just talked himself up in the mirror. It was great.
So this is ritual. He was pumped. Did he have like a gold chain or anything?
I think he did. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it would have to be have to accompany the personality. That's hilarious.
That needs to be like a sitcom or something, or
a horror movie.
Yeah, I feel like that. Yeah, you may lodge that for if you ever try to make a film.
Did you guys see Gummo? Basically that.
Basically that's what it was. Living life through there. That's nuts.
You were talking about Chicago. Some kind of bus story.
Oh yeah. So we took the mega bus there and back, and it was on the way back. We made the rest stop in this town in Illinois called McLean. It was like midnight or something, and they're like, yeah, just get off the bus, go pee, get food, drink, whatever. And so we do that, and we get back on the bus, and somebody comes on, and the bus driver comes on, and he says, they found two or three guys smoking pot by the gas station, so they've called the cops. We're gonna be here a while. And I swear to God, he says this. He says, it's a bad day to be black. Now, he was black himself. But so still, cool. What the fuck? We wait a while, and four cops show up, because you need that many when possession, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like harassing people on the bus, and Justin's like, are we going to go viral? Is this going to be on Huffington Post? And here's the thing. I don't smoke grass, because I call it grass, like it's the 70s. Justin does, and Justin was super high when this was happening, because he got off the bus, and he, like, had a cigarette and, like, a hit off his little pipe, the one-hitter, and so he's, like, paranoid, and when he heard they were, like, the cops were coming, he turned to me and he said, I'm going to go pee. And, of course, he went in and threw his shit away.
Right.
And he comes back on, and the lady behind us says, yeah, I heard they caught the guys on camera, so we shouldn't be here that long. And Justin is, like, freaking out, and he takes his glasses off because he thinks they won't recognize him. And so he's super paranoid.
Like Superman. Like.
Yeah.
And, where'd he go?
And so they come on, the four cops come on the bus. They don't even talk to me and Justin. They like, pick out these three guys, because the bus driver's like, yeah, there's a guy in a red jacket, a green jacket, an army jacket. So they pick out these three guys and take them off the bus, and we leave. And they're just there now. They just live in McLean, Illinois.
You're never going home.
Exactly. And Justin was paranoid, because he's like, yeah, I threw my shit away in that trash can. What if they find it and pin it on those guys?
Right, yeah. I just ruined those guys' lives.
Yeah.
They're doing 20 years in prison for possession now because of my stuff.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of, like, being paranoid and, like, putting on, like, the glasses and mustache. Yeah. And just being like, all right, we're good now. But that Superman thing's probably better.
We joked that I was his talisman.
Like, they had, like, a whole backstory ready just in case. He's, like, disabled or something.
So are you going to take Amtrak next time, then?
I'm probably just going to take my car.
I've had a lot of stories of traveling. I mean, maybe just don't leave.
Don't leave my house.
Don't leave your house, yeah.
I was thinking I was just talking about it the other day, that Beavis and Butthead do America when they're traveling in that bus with that old lady, and then he takes all her pills, all those, and then he's doing the cornholio thing and stuff. Like, I just imagine that's what you guys on the bus with a bunch of old people, talking about sluts in Las Vegas, and
we mostly just listen to music on the bus.
Yeah,
we're tired.
Try not to interact with the old people. Probably have like dirtier stories though. You're probably just like, wow, you guys are way okay.
People on the bus are cool. Yeah, I liked them.
I think it'd be fun.
Well, they were apparently were all high, I guess.
Yeah, everybody was stoned.
It was probably everybody but like two people were just blazed out of
me
their
and the children.
Yeah, right.
There was one little boy on the bus who kept watching the same clip from Teen Titans over and over again. And it's like, I don't want to hear this ever again.
That'd be my son. He would just sit and watch the same video over and what did we show him? I showed him some kind of video, and he just continually kept watching. So there's a viral video that went, you know, the Nintendo 64 kid who's like, you know, he freaks out. Well, somebody animated it. That's a good one. Where like the kid is getting attacked by the Nintendo 64 and getting eaten and sucked in.
Okay.
And the girl's like, it looks like she's like cheering on and whatever. And my son was just sitting here watching this over and over again. And you just keep hearing Nintendo 64 and like just over and over again. I'm just like, Ricky, and he's 2.5. He's 3 now. And he just like, would keep watching this video. I'm just like, Ricky,
stop.
Let's turn it off.
No, I was the same way.
And then he'd go watch Elevators. That's his joint. That's his jam, yo.
So you got February 28th.
Yep.
You do a showcase, a monthly showcase at Shameless Grounds.
Yeah, Contraceptive Comedy, which I regret the name. I don't like it. I mean, because it's a sex-positive coffee shop, so it was, like, the obvious choice. It was literally the first thing I thought of. And I was like, yeah, that'll work, but I regret not thinking of something better. But it's stuck. It's whatever. You gotta stick with the brand, you know?
Gotta go with it, it's all about the branding.
All about the brand. But no, yeah, it's a monthly showcase I do. It's fun. I host it, produce it, book it. I used to run it with another guy, but he didn't do any work. So I quit texting him about the show, and like he just hasn't called me. So I'm like, yeah, he's out. He doesn't do open mics anymore, so it's not like I see him.
This is going to happen with the show. Shane's going to be like, yeah, I just need to do a podcast with Chris, but he just didn't do anything, and I just stopped texting him, and just, I haven't heard from him since. So
yeah,
now
it's been
just
a year.
Rock River Podcast with Shane.
You gotta cross off the Chris and all the
marketing. Yeah, right. And all the stickers you just have it like.
You gotta do a recall.
Yeah, there's that little like slot that's cut out. It's like there's only one anime guy now.
Yeah, December, I guess, right?
Nick Van Ryan.
Yeah, it was one. That was a good time, man. It's packed in there.
Yeah, the last two of them packed. That one and. January we had Cody Melcher from Chicago, who's really funny, and that one, both of those shows, people like had to sit down on the floor or like stand in the back.
Right.
It was great. Hopefully this one will be good. We got four guys coming in from Bloomington, so it should be pretty good.
Did you ever think of inviting the guy from St. Joe?
No, of course not.
Awesome. Hell no, absolutely not. Bring his meth friends.
Hey man, I'm just gonna return the favor. You can come down here to my show now.
Helping hand. So when you're developing like your set, do you is it observational comedy or how do you kind of go about creating your material or is it very?
It's usually personal stuff or just weird bullshit, kind of a mixture of both. I'm doing a lot of. I used to be like purely confessional stuff. Mm-hmm. And now I still do a lot of that, but I do like a lot of like things that aren't about me or just like ironic. I do a bit where I just talk about how much I love Saddam Hussein. And I just tell facts about him and embellish on that. I do a bit. Well, this is my favorite bit I do right now, and nobody agrees with me. It's a guy who is anti-sex. And it comes out and is just railing against it, and it's very clearly like tongue in cheek, but still like, what's going on? Like one line that is a newer line that I wrote last night is, "Sex was invented in the 1940s to sell records." It's like it's a conspiracy. So it's like just this weird conspiracy theorist character. That's my favorite thing I do right now, I think.
And I feel like if you could get like some celebrity to like post that, like, there'd be a whole slew of, like, people who are like, yeah, anti-sex, like the vaccination thing, like, Jimmy Carter, we shouldn't be having the sex, shouldn't be having the sex, and this is why, and it's like, guys, stop.
The reason I like it is because, you know, you go to an open mic, and you see so many young men talking about fucking and what have you, and then you just have this one hero who's like, no, none of that, no more.
That could be another, like, it's like the superhero movie you can make of the anti,
just like castrating people.
You gentlemen are all damned to hell. Yeah. Wait, that's no more. There's got to be one hero.
Yep.
Love it. It's hilarious.
The dong burglar? No, I'm not going to do that.
Just have to develop different personas.
Yeah, yeah, we'll write a draft.
Yeah, well, it'll be, that's the thing of, like, the great idea, and then you think of it, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, forget it.
90 pages of this shit.
Just stay real late one night doing all this stuff, and then the next day you're just like,
I wish I had the attention span to just blast through things in a night. I used to be able to do that, but,
That's my problem, is I'll get, like, an idea, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and be like, this is amazing, and I'll start working on it for like an hour or 2 hours, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go to bed, I'm so tired. And I wake up, I'm just like, my motivation's gone.
Exactly.
Like, maybe I should start doing coke or something, whatever it is, like, keep you up forever. And I just be like, oh yeah.
I went to see Jason Isbell last night at Peabody, and great show. But he was telling a story. He said he was had a rough night of drinking, and he was. He said he was in his apartment, and he's walking back and forth in his boxers, and he had a pistol in his hand. And he's he said every time he walked past his window, it was open, and he would fire out at his neighbor's pickup truck, and you know, so he's like, he goes, yeah, I thought everybody did that. And, you know, I was like, what?
It's not. Is it a game?
Yeah.
It's not normal.
So anyway, but he's saying how, like, in that night that he all of a sudden he got hit with this, he had the whole song in his head, and he's like, he goes, oh, I'll just go to bed, it'll be there when I wake up, and he's like, no, I can't do this, so he, like, said he'd chug, like, 2.5 pots of coffee and stayed up and wrote the whole song out and stuff, and, like, but it was just kind of a crazy, like, I mean, to think, like, if that's, you know, how it went, but, like, that inspiration to where a full song would just come to you, like, at that moment, like, here, write this, start writing this stuff down. I mean, do you ever, get something like that where you just kind of, like...
Yeah, how I write, really, is, I go through a phase where I think I'm Christ, and I just stay like
we call that the Kanye West phase.
Yeah. I just stay up all night and, like, get really manic and just pace around my basement listening to music and, like, thinking about things, and then I'll just write it all out, and it, yeah, that's how I write things.
Yeah. were you... It's a dog. were you kind of inspired by any comedians growing up that kind of got you into it, or is it just something that you just... Just enjoyed, you know?
I've always liked stand-up, just seeing on TV. When I was 7, I went to my first comedy show, which was Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
God, can't live that down. and his opener was this guy named Josh Sneed.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
I love Josh.
Yeah. I, like, know him now. He's like a Cincinnati comic. But he sold the CD after the show, Josh did, and we bought it, and I would just listen to that all the time, and I thought it was really funny.
Was that shout out to my peeps?
Yes, it was. I loved that joke when I was a kid. I was like, oh man, it's peeps candy, that's crazy. That's a great twist. And I would, like, tell the jokes to my friends, and they'd be like, I don't understand. Like, do you remember the joke where, what was it, He says the disciples were Mexican because they traveled in one accord.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Even I didn't know what that meant at the time. And I would still tell my friends, and they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know what that is.
But no, that's how I kind of got into it. And then, you know, from there, just other things. And then when I was 14, I watched Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld. Have you seen that documentary?
I don't think so.
Okay. I haven't watched it either.
It's pretty good. It's, it's just, it follows Seinfeld and this guy Orny Adams around New York as they do shows, and, like, Seinfeld is, like, the professional, you know, and Orny's, like, up and coming, like, getting into festivals for the first time or whatever. And so I watched that, and I was like, that looks really difficult. I'm going to do this.
I'm going to do it.
So, like, then a couple months later, by the time I was, like, 15 at that point, my friend's mom, who was a musician, said, yeah, I'm running a music open mic now at this winery. You should come and do some comedy. And so I wrote out, like, a seven-minute story about the first time I went on a date with a girl, which was, like, the week before I did the comedy, and just told that in this winery, and that was my first time. And I eventually got banned from there, like, after five times, because it was owned by these really strict Catholic people, and I talked about heroin a lot, because I thought it was interesting, and I was, like, just spoke about that, and then they were, like... First of all, they were very passive-aggressive about it, because I performed it, like, four times, and, like, the fifth time I show up, and all of a sudden they have these cards on the table that were, like, rules for performers, and it was like, don't be dirty, don't swear, whatever. And I was like,
don't talk about heroin.
Yeah, don't talk about heroin. And I was like, well, I don't care. I'm just going to do this. And then the next day, they were like, yeah, don't come back.
It's like, see, you just got to follow up everyone, but, like, every set would just, like, end it with, like, yeah, but then I found Jesus.
Right.
Thank you. And then they're like, oh, okay, so it all comes, like, it's all good.
It doesn't matter.
They weren't happy with it.
Yeah. It wasn't good. Most shows are not good.
Well, it's kind of a, I wouldn't expect, like, a winery that's to have, like, a open mic type of thing, or a comedy.
Yeah.
And not maybe just me not knowing. But
I was the only comedian. It was mostly, you know, acoustic musicians, and they liked me.
Yeah,
because they were cool. I wasn't good. I was okay, I guess, for a new person. But you know, had a lot to learn. That was in Southern California.
Okay.
I was still living there at the time, and I did like 19 shows there because I make a list of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I did like 19 there, and then all of a sudden, my mom was like, yeah, California's too expensive. We're leaving. And 2 weeks later, we just moved in with my grandparents in Arkansas. And so I didn't do comedy for like 4 months.
Yeah.
I just took this huge break, and it was horrible. And then while we're living in Arkansas, this was like October of 2012, we made a visit to St. Louis to like check it out, see if we wanted to move back. And I went to the Fitz's open mic and did a show there. And that was really fun, and I made a lot of friends. And I was like, yeah, we're going to move here. So we moved to St. Louis, and I joined the scene here.
Oh, gotcha. Well, yeah, St. Louis, the scene here, like, is really, seems at least blown up in the last few years.
Yeah,
like,
it's really grown since I've even got here.
Yeah, it's good to see, just because I think from what, and I'm not as, like, ventured on the comedy scene as, like, Shane is, but, like, I just remember the Funny Bone being kind of, like, the one place to be able to see it. Now it seems like there's tons
and
of places.
But that's still a lot of people's perception, though.
Yeah.
Like, Justin Luke was telling me he saw, like, a Reddit thread in R. St. Louis where they talked about how David Cross once said St. Louis was the least funny city. And there are people in the comments like, isn't, like, don't we just have, like, the Funny Bone and that's it? And so Justin made, like, a response post. I think you commented it.
I did. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he was, because he listed all those shows. Because, yeah, I was listening. He said on Nerdist, because he performed, David Cross performed at SLU, and, like, what's the weirdest thing? I think he did
right,
a
right.
AMA.
And it was a Jesuit school, and he makes fun of religion.
Right.
It was kind of like my thing with the Catholic winery, except I'm not as good as David Cross. He was a hero of mine at the time. I loved Shut Up, You Fucking Baby, and It's Not Funny. I love those albums. Yeah, him and Bill Hicks and George Carlin, I really loved when I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I remember
Patton.
Oh, yeah. I remember, I think Brian Regan was the first comedian that I've heard that I started to be like, oh my God. Like, because then after that, like, Dane Cook took off, you know, and like that. But like, Brian Regan, I remember listening to his album and like over and over again, be like, holy cow, dude's freaking phenomenal. And obviously still is, but yeah, it's just. It's interesting how big the scene has seemed to increasingly, you know, it's grown over just from what I even remember. But you're right. Just reading off that Reddit, a lot of people are just like, yeah, I thought the Funny Bone was all there is. And let alone probably knowing that there's two Funny Bones, not just
They just think it's Westport, probably.
Yeah.
Because the park is not well promoted. They don't even have a light on their sign.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, it's a cool little spot, but but the fact that the...
It needs a drop ceiling.
Yeah.
I think.
Right. It needs some work, but the fact that like that the bird store next door has more lighting than the actual Funny Bone sign. So.
Have you been there, Chris?
Not the, I've been to Westport. Yeah, but haven't been to the other one there.
Yeah,
so.
There's a train behind it.
Yeah.
That runs, and you can hear.
Oh my god.
And the funniest thing ever was once during open mic, this guy was on, and right as he got to the punchline, you just heard the train just roar by, and he just had to wait and tell the punchline.
That was, man, that, you'd think there'd be some kind of planning before putting it there. Nope. Hey, there's a train that would go through, but.
And it always goes, like, right during the show. Like, it's never, you know.
Yeah.
That it doesn't skip that hour that the show's going on. It always, right in the middle of the show.
Yeah. I guess it does give it kind of, like, a character thing, too. But, like, that's pretty, I mean, if it's really disruptive, it's like, oh, I think you would have thought about it. guess not. It's just a train. How loud can it be? Right. We got walls. Near the Winsville one for my freaking house. It's crazy. Yeah. But, you talked about the comedy show you do at Shameless Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're booked through, was it June?
July. Well, I'm waiting to hear back from May through July confirmation on those dates, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get them because they're usually open. But yeah, I have confirmed till April.
Gotcha.
It's usually the last Saturday of the month. July won't be because that one's going to be July 18th, I think, because July 25th. The last Saturday is Jeremy Helwig's wedding, another comic, so I'm going to be going to that.
Yeah.
And I can schedule it however I want. So
do what I want, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to make it happen. We talked to Jeremy, all right? Oh, I did. He does his Comedy vs. Everything podcast with Amy, and we've talked about doing something to partner up or whatever, trying to help promote each other. And,
yeah. Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah,
I did that one like a year ago. That was fun.
We've been trying to do more. You know, just the two of us trying to be included in this podcast community. We've met a few through Twitter and stuff. Just trying to.
You know the catalog guys?
I don't think so.
Christopher Melton and Josh Evans.
I don't think so.
Ah, okay. I did their podcast last night because I was on their show. They were like releasing a new video.
Oh yeah,
and like we just podcasted beforehand. That was really fun. A lot of podcasts.
Yeah,
I didn't realize there were so many.
Well, I don't think I realized there's just we started doing it, and I was like, oh, there's only a couple that I knew of, and then all of a sudden it's like, I was like, oh, well, that's freaking awesome.
But yeah.
Then like I'm in a podcast community on Facebook, and like there's crazy amount of
it's blown up.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's exciting that like you. Not that it's, I mean, I don't know, I listen to Stern's show a lot, and he was, just last week, just bashed on podcasting, and he was, but his, well, like, his whole thing was, like, I guess the way he looks at it, like, people, if we want to be in radio, he's like, you know, you need to go do the work, like, if that's what you want to do, like, because that's what he did, and, you know, putting in the hours at some small station, and then you... Eventually, you can grow and stuff, but
does anybody want to be in radio?
Well, I don't.
That's what I was looking for, and I'm just like,
that's what his. I was like, I don't really necessarily want to be in radio.
This is a
I
false just, premise.
Yeah, right.
Two things. Whenever people, I was actually thinking about this today because the podcast thing, but I get offered to do radio shows sometimes, and I'll do them eventually. But whenever people offer me to do their radio show, I'm just like, why don't you just have a podcast?
Yeah. Right.
Because more people would most likely hear it. And also, you don't have to deal with the FCC.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Or time constraints.
Sure.
Yeah.
Although, podcasts should just be like an hour. But also, I used to do radio when I was, how old was I? 12. in Utah. That was when I was getting really into movies. And my mom had a friend who worked for the station there, X94. And they're like, yeah, you want to come on and do like a 5-minute spot and just talk about movies? And I was like, yeah. So for like 6 weeks during the summer, I had a weekly spot where I reviewed movies. And I remember the most controversial thing I ever said. I said Transformers 2 Blue. And then they got an angry text from a listener saying, tell that bitch boy to fuck himself.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's great.
That's the only thing we miss right now compared to being on radio is we don't get that fan interaction of somebody saying, you guys are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
You just reviewed mainstream? You didn't review those Russian...
I would review whatever was playing in the theater, which is like mainstream things. What I like about the theater there in Vernal, the town in Utah... it's not like a megaplex like an AMC or anything. It's just like an independently run, like nice little theater. They have two. They have the main one that shows like the mainstream stuff, and they have one that's like one screen. I remember they like when I first moved there, they were playing There'll Be Blood, and I was like, okay, this is a cool theater. But I like that. So I just review movies that played there, and like sometimes I talk about a DVD that I'd watched. I also wrote for the newspaper at the time, doing the same thing, unpaid, which I should have. I should have demanded payment because my mom worked for the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I imagine that could have got me some leverage.
Right.
But no, I just had this column that ran. It wasn't very good because, you know, I'm just 12. Can't write that well.
28, I still can't write. Crap. Mm-hmm. What have you, so are you kind of a norm on Reddit? Do you go in there pretty often? Just for in general of like looking at.
I like to browse. I used to have accounts, but I keep deleting them because I just get bored. I don't have one right now. But yeah, I browse. Everybody on there is a fucking idiot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just I hate them all.
Horrible, horrible people. I'm just curious. Did you see that trailer for Something Fury where the guy, it's like this really cheaply looking kung fu movie where he's like, he's got to fight Hitler.
Uh-uh.
And then he has to go back in time to fight Hitler. He goes too far, so he goes back to like the dinosaurs and he's riding a dinosaur and like. The guy who's in the back has like a Nintendo Power Glove on, and it's like a bunch of 8-bit. It looks hilarious. Like, there's the opening like scene in the trailer is like these guys, and the cop pulls up to him and is like giving him trouble. And the dude's on a skateboard, and the skateboard's like kind of halfway under the cop car. And he just kicks it into the skateboard, and the cop car flies off and just explodes. And it's just like one of those absurd just movies, but it looks hilarious. But I can't think. It's Something Fury, but I can't think of what the title is. But I'll see. But it's just hilarious. Nice. Hilarious time.
I was watching Law & Order SVU this week, and they had, I thought it was funny, because every now and then they put, like, actual stuff in there, like, they try to make references to popular things, and,
I have a story about that, but keep going.
There was one, like, where they were calling it, like, face space and stuff like that.
That's the best.
Yeah.
I love it when they do that.
But then, this week, they were trying to track this guy down, and he was using Red Chatit.
God.
So there was a form.
5chan.
Yeah.
Face space.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man. The best example of trying to be hip and failing that I can think of right now. Did you see the movie Chef with Jon Favreau?
It's on Netflix, but I haven't seen it yet.
Did you see it?
No.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Because it's literally just Jon Favreau doesn't know how technology works. Because he's like the chef who is opening up, like, taco trucks or whatever.
Yeah.
And his, like, 13-year-old son has to show him how to brand using social media. And, like, he teaches him how Twitter works and Instagram. And, like, it shows it, like, on the screen. And it's like, go fuck yourself.
God damn it. Get out of here. That movie's called Kung Fury.
Kung Fury.
So it's... If it wouldn't, like, just rock out the microphone, I'd show it to you. But you have to just check it out. But it looks just absurd, but it's hilarious at the same time. Cause, like, there's a point where the guy has, like, an Uzi, and he's riding on a T-Rex, and he's just, like, shooting. Yeah. It's crazy. It's a good time. Good time. But, well, about to an hour here, but appreciate you hanging out.
Yeah, man, this is fun.
Hopefully don't get hit with a ton of snow. I'm not thinking we will. Hopefully I'm like, you're skeptical. I don't believe anything the weather people say. But
yeah.
I'll say that, and then having to go to work tonight, it'll just blizzard, and I won't be able to come home. And
Man, I hope, you know what? Actually, I hope it does snow so bad that they cancel my work because I have to be on the road, and I hope they like, yeah, we're not
going
to do this.
Yeah, we're not just going on.
Go home.
Go home.
Like, yeah, that's what I want.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I used to deliver for Stefanina's.
Oh yeah,
and I remember I was driving one night and it snowed. And, like, it got to the point where, like, okay, this is our last delivery, you know, starting to get bad. And I'm like, all right, whatever. And, like, I ended up running that last one out. And I was, like, in Lake St. Louis. And there's some, like, yard with, like, these little post kind of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It wasn't really like a fence, but it was just these little, basically just to keep people from driving off the road into their yard kind of thing. And I ended up, like, I slid on, like, on the way out. And, like, and I hit one of those and I put a hole in my bumper. And I was just like, man, like, of course, like, well, my last run of the night, I have to get in a slide off the road, and
yeah,
luckily, that was it. But
my biggest fear, or hope, rather, is that I lock my keys in my car while I'm on a delivery, and, like, I can't go back, and I have to call my boss to come help me or something.
Just go back, man. Can I hang out here for a little
bit? Or I get hit. I'm afraid of getting hit. But that would, like, end my work day, so I kind of want it.
As long as it's not horribly...
Yeah, and as long as it's, like, their fault, so I don't have to pay the majority of the insurance.
Yeah, You're good. Just so you get the day off. That's all. Yeah. That's all that matters. Yeah. Jeez,
well, so come out February 28th to Shameless Grounds.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. It's free.
Come see some vagina molds.
Yeah.
That's molds of vaginas.
Molds of vaginas, not moldy vaginas. Yeah.
They got food and beer, soda, whatever you want, books.
They got it all.
Books. Be sweet. And then you can follow on Twitter, Shaker Spurlock, or like you said, you can add on Facebook
for that one. I prefer that.
Prefer Facebook, yeah. But if you want to send me messages, do it Twitter or Reddit, right? Because that's what it is.
Right.
Yeah. But he's fucking stupid because he's stupid. Okay, Reddit, thanks. All right, well,
what was it, bitch boy?
I don't think he said bitch boy. He said something along those lines. It's like the word bitch boy.
I like it. That should be if you ever make a new Reddit account. That should be bitch boy.
Bitch boy.
Bitch boy. And then put a number by it. Bitch boy 69 or something.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, appreciate you hanging out. And, man. We'll maybe get you back on for the 50th episode, right?
Yeah, the countdown.
Yeah. There it is.
I could be what would be my number? Number I'd say I'm a solid 34.
So 34 and 50. Keep it in the middle, you know. It's good. Yeah, we'll build the list and then we may have to ask for all those screenshots or not screenshots but like headshots whatever you have of all the comedians you're talking about. Just in case any of them we had on the show. So maybe save us some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that is a wrap on episode 48, Shriker Spurlock, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.